Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Yevamos is daf Hey Zion. We start today on the very bottom of Pei Vav Amud Aleph. We're going to be continuing from yesterday. We are in the ninth parak of the Masechta, and hopefully today we're going to finish the ninth parak and leave ourselves tomorrow to start the tenth parak of the Masechta. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf of the Lord, Zeich and Ishmas, Lois Lupin Zaltzman. The Mishnah that we are still back on the back of Pehei Amud Beis, described what happens when a Bas Yisrael is engaged to a Kohen, pregnant from a Kohen, Shomer Yavam to a Kohen, and conversely a Bas Kohen to Yisrael. So in all these cases, Lo Chsocha B'Truma, she's not allowed to eat Truma. That part's pretty straightforward. And as Tosfos pointed out in the beginning of this parak, look, a lot of the halachas that we're learning over here are Chazarot's review. It's a short parak, this ninth parak, and it's just really reviewing what we already know from earlier in the Masechta. The Mishnah's Chiddush, however, comes from the Levi. The Levi, somebody who's married to a Levi, engaged to a Levi, pregnanted by a Levi, Shomer Yavam to a Levi, so can't eat Maaser Rishon. Well, can't eat Maaser Rishon, that's a little bit strange. But can Maaser Rishon doesn't have Kedusha, it's not a Mazarim. So what's the Mishnah talking about? So the Gemara yesterday gave three different suggestions in terms of what exactly the Mishnah was talking about. Just quickly to review the three suggestions, and then we'll take it from there in the Gemara. The first suggestion of the Gemara yesterday was Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, who says that our Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that Maaser Rishon can only be eaten by Levim. Just like Truma can only be eaten by Kohan, and Maaser Rishon can only be eaten by Levim. That's one possible suggestion. The Gemara had difficulty with that suggestion. The second suggestion of the Gemara, Amar of Sheshis. So when it says, Ocheles, Eino Ocheles, it means authorization. The wife's ability to authorize others to separate Trumas and Maestros, and she's coming as a wife of a Kohen or a wife of a Levi, and she has the ability to authorize. The wife goes into the bank and says, okay, I want to make a withdrawal. I understand it's not exactly the same. It depends whose name is on the account, but in other words, I want to make a withdrawal. It's an analogy. It's not, don't take me too seriously. But in other words, but it's basically the same idea. She's coming, not the Mishnah's terminology of Achila over here, not that our Mishnah's going like Reb Meir, but just simply the wife's ability to authorize others to take off Trumas and Maisos for her entitlements. And finally, the last pshat that we saw yesterday was Marbrei de Ravana. We're on the bottom of Pei Vav Amud Aleph, and just in terms of a review. And that is the third opinion, is that we're talking about distribution. We're talking about the woman's ability to go into the base of Grunas, into the granary, and receive a distribution of Trumas and Maisos. And to which the Gemara says, well, I understand, women in general cannot go into the granary to get distribution. One of two possible reasons, either because of Ichud. In other words, it's just simply it's an ichud is an issur in of itself, and it'll, of course, the issur is there to prevent leading it to other issues. So if a woman can't get a distribution either because it's a ichud issue, or the Gemara says another issue, another possible concern is a fluctuating status of a woman. A woman right now can eat truma, but if she's a Bas Yisrael, she's married to a Kohen, but that can all change if upon death or divorce and there are no children, so then she can't eat truma. And so because statuses of women fluctuate as opposed to men, when a man's a Kohen, he's always going to be a Kohen. When a man's a Levi, he's always going to be a Levi. But because women's status fluctuates, so therefore women cannot be recipients of distribution because the distributors may not know that the woman's status has changed. Okay, one of two different reasons why women can't receive a distribution. The Gemara wonders if we're going with the second reason, so isn't it? It's not always true. So the Gemara says, Gzeirah. The rabbis made a decree that no women is allowed to receive a distribution. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of what we got to yesterday. Tana Rabban. We're in the very bottom of Pei Vav Amud Aleph. We're starting now our Braitha. Truma l'Kohen and Maaser Rishon l'Levi divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that Truma goes to a Kohen and Maaser Rishon goes to a Levi. I think we kind of all knew that already. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer l'Kohen. But the reason why we're bringing this up right now is because we're looking at the sheet of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who says that Levi goes to... Sorry, Levi goes to... I know. Just, I'm laughing at myself. Okay, Maaser Rishon goes to Kohanim. Maaser Rishon goes to Kohanim. The Gemara says, what just happened over here? What is Rav Elazar ben Azari talking about? Lekohen v'lo lelevi? That sounds a little bit strange. Ema, af lekohen. Nope. So the Gemara says, no, that's not what Rav Elazar ben Azari meant. Of course, the Maaser Rishon distribution goes to Levim. That's what the Torah says. But what Rav Elazar ben Azari means is that he could also go to a kohen as well. So my time in the Rabbi Akiva dechsiv, alevin to daber v'amart alehem. So as far as Rabbi Akiva is concerned, so the Gemara says, it's a pasuk. The pasuk says that you speak to the Levim. Again, this is in Parshas Korach. This is where the Torah talks about the allocation, the distribution of Trumas and Maestros, right? After Korach has his machlokas, and Korach says, I should be the, and you know, he lists a whole bunch of things where he should have been. But Aaron was decided to be the Kohen and the progenitor of all Kohanim. And as once it was already decided. But once the Kodesh Baruch Hu stamped his decision that Aaron was going to be a Kohen, so then the Torah in Parshas Korach goes through all the distributions of what the Kohen's going to receive, what the Levi's going to receive. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Parshas Korach, Ve'elavim to Daber Ve'amart Alehem, Levim Kamishlai Kra. The Torah is talking about the Levim, meaning the Torah is telling us that Truma goes to the Levim. Sorry. Maaser Rishon goes to the Levim. V'idach k'd Rav Yeshua ben Levi, d'amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, b'esrim v'arba mekamos nikru kohanim Levim, v'zeh echad mehem. Now, in terms of defending Rav Elazar ben Azariah, can we defend him? So the Gemara says, sure. In other words, he can go like Rav Yeshua ben Levi. And Hedy asked me this question yesterday. Meaning, can we just simply say that the Levim are really kohanim, and kohanim are really Levim? The Gemara says, yeah. Rav Yeshua ben Levi says, absolutely. We find that the Kohanim 24 places in Tanakh is referred to as Levim. V'zeh echad mehem, and just citing one example, V'akohanim alevim b'nei tzadok. Okay, just Gemara cites one example from Sefer Yecheskel, but it's very possible that even though the Torah says the word Levim, but it's actually a reference to Kohanim. Fine. So the Rabbi Akiva hachal matzis amar dichsi v'achalta mosa b'chol makom. So and as far as Rabbi Akiva is concerned, Rabbi Akiva says no, that pshat is just simply untenable. Can't possibly be that when the Torah is talking about Maaser Rishon, it's talking about the Kohanim and referring to the Kohanim as Levim. Can't be. Why? Because the Torah says regarding the eating of Maaser Rishon v'achalta mosa b'chol makom, you eat it wherever, in any location. Misha yachal ochel b'chol makom, you have to kohen shein yachal ochel b'beis hakvaros. So the Gemara says, you know, Kohen can eat wherever he wants. Now, yes, it's true that the Truma can be eaten throughout all of Eretz Yisrael, right? The Gemara discussed this time and again. It's one of those rare exceptions where Truma has Kedusha, but is not contained in one area. Usually something with Kedusha is confined to a particular area. Karban is confined to an area. Maaser Sheni is confined to an area. Shlam. In other words, most kachim foods are confined to an area. Truma is what the Gemara is elsewhere refers to as kachay gvul, right? It's kodesh, but it can be outside of Yerushalayim. It can be in anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. But the Gemara says, but still there's a limitation. Kohanim can't eat the truma in the base of Kvaros. Now that, by the way, it is a truma problem because the truma then becomes tamei. It's true, but it's also the Gemara is focusing more on the kohen problem. The kohen can't go into a basic verse. The Gemara says, and if you want to take the other position, the counter side would be very simple. The counter side would be, all the Torah means is, You can eat it wherever you want in Eretz Yisrael. Yes, it's true, Kohanim can't go to certain places. But generally speaking, it can be eaten throughout. In other words, that's it. The only point, the point is that it doesn't require choma. Meaning, unlike shlamim and maaser sheni and all other foods of kodesh which require choma, you're circumscribed within a particular area by a wall, but that's not true by truma. And if you eat it b'tumas aguf, so you're not going to be subject to malchus. But the truth of the matter is that it can. In other words, unlike truma where you are subject to malchus. So the Gemara just simply says that the Torah's allowance to eat it wherever you want is not necessarily talking about the Levim. It could be talking about the Kohanim. Okay, so again, what do we have for over here? Machlokas Tanaim. A machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rav Elazar ben Azariah, Truma goes to a Kohen. That's clear. That's not even up for discussion. What about Ma'aser Rishon? So Rabbi Akiva says Ma'aser Rishon goes to the Levium, and Rav Elazar ben Azariah says Afal Kohanim. No, you can give your Ma'aser Rishon to a Kohen as well. Okay. Hahi Ginasa da Havishakel Rav Elazar ben Azariah Ma'aser Rishon Mina. Okay. And there was a garden that Rav Elazar ben Azariah helped himself to Ma'aser Rishon. Now, mind you, by the way, I didn't make this point earlier, but let's make this point now. Rav Elazar ben Azariah has a chiddush, and that is that Ma'aser Rishon can be given to a Kohen. You don't have to give Ma'aser Rishon to a Levi, you can give him to a Kohen. And the reason why, presumably, ostensibly right now in the Gemara, is because Kohanim are really Levim as well. Okay, just, you know, inflated Levim, if you will. Super Levium. But the Levium. No, it doesn't work the other way. Okay, fine. So, and, right, just for purposes of full disclosure, which the Gemara is doing right now, it's also good to point out that Rav Elazar ben Azariah was a Kohen. Okay, so right, just for purposes of full disclosure, so now you know that he says that Ma'aser Rishon can be given to a Kohen, and he happens also to be a Kohen. And the Gemara now, it's a little sense of irony, perhaps even a little bit of comedy, but the Gemara says, and Rav Elazar ben Azariah was going and collecting Ma'aser Rishon for himself, because he's a Kohen, and he maintains that a Ma'aser Rishon can collect Truma. Sorry, Ma'aser Rishon. Also, Rabbi Kiva ahajer lepischad lebei kivra. So Rabbi Kiva was very angry. Now again, Rabbi Kiva was the bar plukta of Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Kiva says that the Ma'aser Rishon has to be distributed to Levim, not to the Kohanim. And so what Rabbi Kiva did is that garden that Rav Elazar ben Azariah was going to and helping himself out to. So Rabbi Kiva locked it up with only one entrance point, with only one access point. And oh, by the way, that access point happened to have been, you had to walk through a cemetery in order to not get through the garden. So for all intents and purposes, basically what Rabbi Akiva told Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is, don't you dare go into this garden and collect your Ma'aser Rishon. Amar, and just in case you thought this story was over, this Gemara has one more line. Amar Akiva b'tarmilo v'anachaye. So Rav Elazar ben Azariah says, look, Rabbi Akiva, he's got his little stack, but me, I'm doing fine. Okay, the Gemara over here, what is he referencing? So So Rashi points out over here, it's a Gemara in Ksuvos, Akiva b'Tarmila. Rashi writes, Mishum de Rabbi Kiva raya de kalba savu hava. Rabbi Kiva was a shepherd, meaning Rabbi Kiva never made a lot of money. Rabbi Kiva lived very modestly and very frugally. He wasn't wealthy. And so the Tarmila that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was referring to was a sack worn by Rabbi Akiva while he's shepherding. Meaning, you know, it's funny, Rabbi Kiva is locking the garden so I can't get my Ma'aser Rishon. Okay, Rabbi Akiva living a simple life. He's not that wealthy. On me, on the other hand, so he describes himself as doing okay. The Gemara doesn't mention it over here. I think the Gemara is in Bechoros. I didn't look it up, but the Gemara mentions elsewhere that Rav Elazar ben Azariah was exceedingly wealthy. Right? Because he felt that he was legitimately entitled to the distribution. Okay, he didn't need it, but people, I understand, but people have to give their Ma'aser Rishon. In other words, in these types of distributions, it's not per need. In other words, the person had to take off Ma'aser Rishon. You're right, he didn't need it. Maybe he gave it to other Levium.
Was it about Kiva's garden?
Huh? Unclear. I don't know.
Otherwise, he goes into somebody else's. Could
be.
And he changes something.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's hard to imagine that he's going to lock the gate of somebody else. Okay, the Gemara's not.
And that blows it will go into somebody's to take.
All right, look, it's an interesting. They were contemporaries. They were in the same tkufa, in the same. I mean, obviously from the story, but I don't know in terms of who was Azariah. I don't know. Rav Elazar ben Azariah, famously, right, becomes the Nasi. That's a fair question. I understand. It's a fair question, but it's impossible for me to answer. I wouldn't know. But right, we know that Rav Elazar ben Azariah was the Nasi, and then kind of deposed as from being the Nasi. Right, the Gemara asked the Gemara in Brachos. Okay, let's go on. Itmar mimnei makan su levim b'maiser. Okay, the levim got penalized as it relates to maiser, and why? Okay, when the Gemara asks a question like this, what the Gemara is basically saying is, there's an assumption going into the discussion. Rashi points out over here, this is not a continuation of the previous discussion. If you take a look at Rashi, he writes, Lav le'el kai, the time of da'achala, mishum kanasa, la mishum dekoanim nam levim ikru. Rashi points out the previous discussion that the Gemara had was a discussion of whether or not Kohanim could also be counted as Levim. That was the discussion, the debate between Rav Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva. This discussion the Gemara is having right now is a totally separate discussion, and it has to do with why were the Levim penalized and lost their rights to collect Maaser Rishon. In other words, there's a little bit of history, and the Gemara is going to go over what exactly it was. Pligi bar Rabbi Yonasan Visavia, the Gemara brings down a debate between Rabbi Yonasan and an elder. Chad amar shalom Allah bimei Ezra, v'chad amar kedeshe yismechu kohanim Allah bimei tumasan. One of two possible reasons. Number one, they did not make Aliyah during the time of Ezra. Ezra comes back from Bavel, from the 70-year Gullus of Bavel, and building the second base of Mikdash. And Ezra tries to convince the Babylonian Jews, okay, let's go back, let's go build the second base of Mikdash. And not that many people followed him. In fact, it was a small number. A fraction of the Jewish people followed Ezra back into Eretz Yisrael to build the Bayis Sheni. And people were comfortable in the diaspora. I think we can relate. And so they didn't go back right away. But what really incensed Ezra was that when he turned around to see who was following him, so Levim didn't follow him. Meaning it's one thing for the general klal Yisrael not to follow him, but then when the Levim didn't follow him, so there he was incensed. So one of the things that he did is he levied a knas against the Levim that they're no longer going to be entitled to the Maaser Rishon. Okay, can Ezra do that? Does he have that power, that authority to do that? The answer obviously is yes, he does. We have a general rule of Hefker based in Hefker that based on when as it comes to anything monetary. So Basin has the right to disavow you of all your possessions and then give it to whomever they want. Right? Hefker Basin Hefker is, you know, true by many different institutions. Just in other words, they have that power, they have that right. In fact, if I remember correctly, the Gemara says that one of the places where we learn Hefker Basin Hefker was from Ezra, meaning from Sefer Ezra, where Ezra says to the Jewish people who made Aliyah with him, you know, it's great that we came back to Israel and it's great that we are building Bayis Sheni, but you can't be with your non-Jewish wives, right? That was one of the messages that he had, one of the issues that he had to deal with, and he basically said, if anyone keeps their non-Jewish wife, so I'm going to sanction and take away their possessions and their estates. And okay, yeah, they go. No. In other words, the Gemara. If I'm remembering correctly, the Gemara says that we learned it from this the incident with Ezra. Now, again, that doesn't mean that he was the one who innovated it. It means that they existed. They had that power, and we see clearly by Ezra. So over here, same thing as well. Meaning the Levim lose their Maaser Rishon because they didn't go back to build the Bayis Sheni together with Ezra. Now another possible reason is that think about it. Kohanim. So what's their means of support? Truma. Okay, great. Yeah, it's great, but they're not always in a position where they can eat the truma. Truma can only be eaten in the state of tahara. Truma cannot be eaten in the state of tumah. Okay, so what are Kohanim going to do when they're tumming? So the Gemara says that's another possible suggestion why the Levim no longer entitled to Maaser Rishon. The Maaser Rishon was redirected to the Kohanim so that the Kohanim can have something to eat in their state of tumah, because we know that Maaser Rishon does not have kedusha, and Maaser Rishon can be eaten in a state of tumah. Bishlam laman damer shlo alu misham hachi kansu. The Gemara now asks the obvious question: if we're going to go with the former reason, with the original reason, because they didn't go, so I understand they didn't go to Eretz Yisrael, so knas, so the levity penalty. Alaman. But the Gemara says, look, I understand the need of the Kohanim, but you're going to penalize the Levim based on the need of the Kohanim? Levim didn't do anything wrong. How can you take away something from the Levim and allocate it to the Kohanim when the Levim didn't do anything wrong? So the Gemara says, you're right. That point is very well taken. The Gemara says, really, the origination of of the Knas is because the Levim didn't go to Eretz Yisrael together with Ezra. That the Gemara says that no disagreement. So the Gemara says that the only thing left to discuss is now that we know that the Levim lose their entitlement of Maaser Rishon, so where does it get allocated? So one opinion is that it's given to the Aniyim, and the other opinion is no, give it to the Kohanim. Why give it to the Kohanim? Because they're Aniyim. And be made to masam when they can't eat their truma, they're really on him. Meaning that at that point in time, what are they supposed to eat? So that's the only debate. But in terms of the Levim losing their Maaser Rishon, that has to do with the fact that they weren't Ola Eretz Yisrael.
You can eat masa
but truma.
Huh? Masa, you can eat the set of truma.
Yes. Maaser doesn't have kedusha.
Yeah.
Okay, so. We'll skip the parentheses. We'll look at the side of the Gemara for the Girsa. We'll work with the Girsa of the side of Gemara. Ella Rabbi Akiva, my time Ajula Piskal Be Kivra. So now if that's true, so let's think about this. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah are living well after the penalties of Ezra, which means then that for over 400 years, the Levim were not getting their Maaser Rishon, and the Kohanim were getting the Maaser Rishon. So now we go back to the story of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva. Now we're going to ask the obvious question. What's going on? Meaning, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is helping himself to the Maaser Rishon. Good. He's entitled. As per the Knas of Ezra. So, Hachi Kamerlei, Ida Ka'asis Betaras Knas Yislach, Vi Ka'asis Betaras Chaluka Leislach. So the Gemara says that if you're coming Betaras Knas, so. Fine, but if you're coming because you actually think that you're legitimately entitled to the allocation of Maaser Rishon, so then you don't have. So in other words, no, the agreement that Kohanim are getting the Maaser Rishon, but why? So Rav Elazar ben Azariah says, because we're legitimately entitled. And Rabbi Kiva says, no. And if that's why you're here, then don't take it. If you think it's because of the Knas of Ezra, so fine. Right? We know about the Knas of Ezra. But if you think you're legitimately entitled, that you're not. Now the Gemara wonders, and how do we know this? Meaning, where exactly do we see this? If the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Sefer Ezra, but Samal Anara Abal Al Ehu, it's the name of a place. The pasuk says it pretty clearly. In other words, Ezra turned around, he did a little bit of a census, and he found Kohanim, but he couldn't find any Levim. Okay, the pasuk says it pretty clearly. Originally, the policemen, the officers came from the Levim, Shenemar v'Shoshim Levim lifnechem. Okay, Gemara talks about where we're going to find the officers from. Two things before we go on to the next Mishnah. Number one. Remember the Mishnah we saw in Kiddushin? We quoted the Mishnah a lot recently in the Daf, and that is Asara Yuchsin Alu LeBavel. Right, that there were 10 classifications of Jews that went from Bavel into Eretz Yisrael, and of those 10 classifications, who were they? So they were Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, and then 7 others. Right, which we just did it yesterday. Who they were. And right, and remember, A can marry B, and B can marry C, but A can't marry C, and okay, et cetera, et cetera. But meanwhile, who came up with Ezra from Bavel? So, Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim. Okay, so, right, three. Those are the first three. And the Gemara over here says that Levim didn't go. The Rishonim are bothered by this. I'm looking for the Tosfos. I know Tosfos is bothered by this. Okay, can't find it right now. Come back to me. Okay, I'll find it later. There we go. It's on the bottom. Oh, here we go. The Hadid Nan, last Tosfos. I knew it was on this Amud. The Hadid Nan. You see the last Tosfos on the Amud? The Hadid Nan Bekedushin. Sorry, Yochsen. Alumi Bavo. Vekachashiv Levi. Vekaranam Iksiva. Yikuma Rosh Avos. Lehuda Vinyamin Vilemin. Ama Alu. Perish Rashi. Sorry, Yochsen. The Osan Levim Shalu Imo. Hayu Kitsutse Bahonos. So Rashi and Kedushin is already bothered by this. Tosfos quotes Rashi and Kedushin, and it's an unbelievably sad Rashi over there. It's a reflection of history, and that is that the Levim who did go up together with Bnei Yisrael to build the Bayis Sheni were the ones who didn't have thumbs. Kesharim Alam Nevuchadnezzar Shir Lechem Mishir Tzion. So right, this is a Medrash in Eicha. So Nevuchadnezzar wanted them to sing songs of Tzion, a very Tzion. I'm the Vekitz of Bono Sam, Vamir Eich Nashir, Eshir Tzion. And so what they did is they cut off their thumbs and they therefore couldn't sing. Apparently, they were asked to also play musical instruments as well. So, Lefish Lamatza Shamaru and Lashir, Amad Vekan Sam. And so that means then that, yeah, the Levim did come up from Bavel Teretz Yisrael, but those who were those who couldn't play instruments, those who couldn't sing, no Levim who were actually helpful in the Beis Hamikdash, in the operation of the Beis Hamikdash. And yeah, Tosfos points out that there is a discussion in the Gemara in Sukkah in the fifth perek whether or not the shir should be done vocally with just vocals or with instruments, but still instruments still play an important part in the whole discussion. Tosfos is bothered by the fact that we do see some Levim make it back to Eretz Yisrael together with Ezra. One other thing I wanted to bring up, and that is today is which day of Teves? Today is the 8th. Okay. Tomorrow, it's right, I know we missed it by a day, but tomorrow is the Yortzeit of Ezra Sofer. Right? The 9th day of Teves is the Yortzeit of Ezra Sofer. The Gemara Megillah identifies yesterday. Today is the day they used to fast on the 8th day of Teves, right? We know about fasting on the 10th day of Teves, right? That's coming up on Thursday. But they used to fast on the 8th day of Teves because the 8th day of Teves was the Targum, right? When they were instructed to be Metargim the Torah into Lashon Yavani. So that the Gemara Megillah describes that occurred on the 8th day of Teves. And the 9th day of Teves is the Yortzeit of Ezra. So which is tomorrow. Okay, and then the fast, of course, is the 10th day. Which, and again, in the good old days, I don't know how good they were, but they used to fast on the 8th, the 9th, and the 10th, three fast days in a row, right? When they were knowing Megillas Tanis. The 8th is that's the day that they were metargim the Torah. Into they took the 70 elders and they were metagin the Torah that occurred today, the 8th day of Teves. Okay, Mishnah. Okay, good. We are on the Mishnah on the bottom of Pevav Amid Beis, about to start today's daf. You're going to see this is review again, like Tosfos said in the beginning of the perek, and hopefully today we're going to finish the perek. This is just simply a review of what we already know. But let's see it together inside. Basically, this Mishnah is broken up into two halves. The first half of the Mishnah right now is going to be talking about a Bas Yisrael married, and we're going to go over she's going to have a story, a little bit of a saga. And the second half of the Mishnah, which starts on Pezayin and Aleph, is going to do the same thing again, but instead of a Bas Yisrael, it's going to be a Bas Kohen. Okay, let's see the Mishnah inside. Bas Yisrael, Shenises LeKohen Tocha B'Truma. So a Bas Yisrael married to a Kohen is now entitled to Yitruma. Good. Like I said, we knew that already. So, Mace, Vila, Hemenu, Ben. But let's say the husband died, but a son was produced. So, Tocha B'Truma. So, she can eat Truma. She can eat Truma as an entitlement from the son. The son is going to enable her to eat Truma. Nisa Zalevi. Now, if this woman marries Zalevi, same woman. Okay, in the same saga. And this woman marries a Levi, Tocha B'Maiser. So she's allowed to eat Maiser. She's allowed to eat Maiser, and what the Mishnah is also saying, pretty implicitly, is that she's no longer allowed to eat Truma. Because even though she has a son, and even though her son's a Kohen, but now that she's married to a Levi, so she loses her ability to eat the Truma, but now she can eat Maiser. Meis V'Lahi Men Obed. Now let's say her second husband dies, her Levi husband dies, but she has a son from that second marriage, so Tocha B'Maiser, so she's allowed to eat Maiser, meaning that her second son, her Levi son, is going to afford her the ability, the entitlement to eat Maiser. Nisei Sliso. Now, by the way, we could say, like we said in the previous Mishnah, that this Mishnah is going like Rabbi Meir, where Meiser is in an Achila that can only be done by Levim. Okay, we could say it like that. Nisei Sliso lo socha lo b'chumah v'lo b'meiser. Now, if her third husband is just going to marry Yisrael, and once she's married to Yisrael, that's it. During her marriage with Yisrael, she can't eat truma, she can't eat meiser. Meis v'lahim en ben. Now, if she has a son with this third husband, lo socha lo b'chumah v'lo b'meiser. So she cannot eat. Right, I knew that question was coming. So the not that I have an answer, but I knew the question was coming. So lo b'chumah v'lo b'meiser. So she can't eat neither chumah nor meiser because of the son. And so now the Mishnah is going to continue with the saga. Meis banam Yisrael. Now she has three sons. One from her first husband, the Kohen, one from the second husband, the Levi, and one for the third husband, the Yisrael. If the third son dies, so tochem b'meiser. So that brings her back now where she can eat meiser, because she has a son who's a Levi. Meis banam Levi, if her Levi son dies, tochem b'shumah, so she can eat shuma. Meis banam Kohen, now if her son of the, if her Kohen son dies, lo socha lo b'shumah v'lo b'meiser, she can't eat shuma meiser. Okay, Ben's question, just to articulate it, is that this woman married three men after having killed two men, so then she went to marry a third man. I don't mean she physically killed the first two husbands, but what I do mean is she's a katlanis, right? Being married to two men, those two men died, and the halach is, as the Gemara recorded earlier, that no one's allowed to marry this woman again after having killed two, and over here you have a third. So it could very well be that the Mishnah was just simply focusing on making the point of married to a Kohen, married to a Levi, married to Yisrael, having a son from each, what happens when one of the sons dies. So it could be that, right, we see this often, that when the Mishnah wants to make a particular point, it will overlook, right, it will overlook other things just to make its particular point. That could be, but that's just me speculating. Oh, okay, good. Or, right, it could be, Danny, that's another very good suggestion, which is that we saw earlier, it's a machlok is whether it's two or three where she's a katlanis. So maybe this Mishnah is holding three.
In the case of danger, it was going to be two or
no. Well, that was the Gemara's conclusion is that we should paskin like two. But we're learning a Mishnah now. The Mishnah's not paskining. The Mishnah's just, you know, telling us what the, okay. Anyway, either way. Okay. Pei Zayin Amud Aleph, we're going to do the same exact thing, but now all we're doing is same story, but we're starting with a Bas Kohen. Okay. Bas Kohen, Shnei Sisi Yisrael. So everything here is going to be inverted. So the Bas Kohen is married to Yisrael, Lo Socha B'Truma, so she's not allowed to eat Truma. Her marriage to a Yisrael is going to hold her back from the Truma, like we've just said time and again throughout our Masechta. Meis V'Lohim and Aben. Meis V'Lohim and Aben. The husband dies, but she has a son before he died. So Lo Socha B'Truma. That son is going to hold her back from eating Truma. Nisis Levi Tochel B'Meiser. If she's married to a Levi, she's allowed to eat Meiser. Meis V'Lohim and a ben tochel b'meiser. Now, if the husband dies, but leaving her a son, so she has now a Levi son. The Levi son will entitle her to eat meiser. Nisus the Kohen tochel b'truma if she's married to a Kohen. So here we have a Bas Kohen married to a Kohen. So tochel b'truma, she's allowed to eat truma. Meis v'lahim and a ben. Now, if the husband dies, but she has a son, tochel b'truma. That son will allow her, enable her to eat truma. Meis benami Kohen lo tochel b'truma. Now, again, we're going to go do the same thing over here, where the Mishnah is going to bump off the three of her sons and watch what happens in terms of her entitlements as each one of the sons dies. So, Meis Benami Kohen Lo Socha B'Truma. So once the Kohen son dies, so she can't eat Truma. Now mind you, by the way, she's a Bas Kohen, but she has a Levi son, she has a Yisrael son, they're going to hold her back from eating the Truma. Meis Benami Levi, if the Levi son dies, so Lo Socha B'Meister. So she loses her right and ability to eat Meister. So now she can't eat Truma, she can't eat Meister, even though she's a Bas Kohen. And the reason is, because she has a son from Yisrael, and that son from Yisrael is still connecting her to her Yisrael husband, even though he's dead. Meis benami Yisrael choseres lebeis avia. Now, if the Yisrael son dies, so now choseres, she returns back to her husband, Valzen Amar, and the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Parshas Amor, v'shav lebeis avia kenureha milechem avia tochal. So she goes back, she returns back to her father's household, and she eats lechem avia, she eats the truma. So in the event where she both She both loses her husband. She's a bas kohen. She loses her husband and she loses the children from the husband. So then she has an ability to return to eat her truma once again, as she did it when she was a child. The Gemara.
What if she had, if she had grandchildren, she still
any connector. Any connector would connect her to her husband. Any children, any progeny.
Why is the
right. So again, none. And well, it could be. First of all, if you want to find, if you want to dig a little deeper in terms of the chiddush, it could be the meiser and the levi can eat meiser and a non-levi can't eat meiser. Maybe we could go there or katlanis maybe is a chiddush. Okay, but again, go back to what Tosa says in this very short parak, in the ninth parak of Yevamos, a lot of review. Meis benami levi tocha b'truma dehadra achla mishum bena minalan. So the Gemara says she's eating on account of her son. So the Gemara says, and where do we know that? So Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav, Bas, Ubas. So the Gemara says, it's a drasha. The drasha is from the additional vav of Ubas. The Gemara says, Kamanka Rabbi, give it to Darsh Vave. And we've seen this Gemara already a number of times. What are you doing? You're darshing an extra vav? So that's a Rabbi Akiva methodology, which the Gemara, you know, kind of tells us time and again, we don't so much buy into this Rabbi Kiva methodology of just darshaning an extra vav. So the Gemara says, "Afilu temer rabban kule ubas kray yaseirahu." So the Gemara says, "No, the entire word is a kray yaseira. The whole thing is superfluous." As Rashi points out over here, if you look at the context of the psukim, you'd see just in the context of the psukim, the Torah could have gotten away without having written the word ubas. See Rashi for that discussion. But so the entire word is superfluous. Tanu Rabbanan. Okay, the Gemara is now going to make the same point four times over. And we'll go through this part quickly, but we've seen this halacha already, but let's see it again. Kishihi chozeres, chozeres l'chum, avinu chozeres l'chaz v'shok. Okay. Abbas Cohen, obviously, she was married to Yisroel, like our Mishnah described, so that's it, she can't eat chum anymore. But not, she's not forever disqualified from the truma while she's married to Yisrael. If her husband dies, leaving her no children, so then she's chozer, she goes back to her father's house and she can eat her truma once again. The halacha, however, is she can only go back to eating truma. She can't go back to eating chazer v'shok. She will be permanently disqualified from chazer v'shok. Chazer v'shok, as we know, whenever anyone brings shlamim to the Beis HaMikdash, so shlamim is equal opportunity. Everyone gets a part of the shlamim. The Mizbeach gets a portion, the Kohanim get a portion, and the owners of the carbon get a portion. The Kohanim get chazeh v'shok. They get the chest of the animal, and the shok, they get the thigh of the animal. So that's the manus kohen, a part of the entitlements of being a kohen, is you get chazeh v'shok. And chazeh v'shok has a din shlamim, eaten by the Kohanim. All members of the Kohanim family can eat the Chaz of Ashok. So Cohen, who's working in the Beis HaMikdash that week, he may be coming home with Chaz of Ashok. I say coming home. They have to be eating it within the confines of Yerushalayim, the Chomas Yerushalayim. But in other words, he can bring home the Chaz of Ashok and they can grill it and they can have Chaz of Ashok that night for dinner. What the Gemara is telling us is that when you have a Chozeres, meaning one of the daughters married to Yisroel, so, and if her, she either by death or divorce, she goes back to her father's house, she can eat truma that night at dinner, but she can't eat chazer v'shok. Now, if you ask me why, even after all the Gemaras we're about to see in just a moment, I'll say it's gzeres hakasav. Meaning, I don't know, from a svara standpoint, I don't know why she goes back to eating truma, but not chazer v'shok, other than they're just simply saying it's gzeres hakasav.
It's a different category of kachim, right? Like, truma is not
kachim. It's part of manos kahuna. It's part of the gifts of kohanim. Truma also is kodesh. Okay, chazer v'shok has more kedusha. Chazer v'shok for sure has higher kedusha. It's a carbon. It's a shlamim. Can only be eaten within the walls of Yerushalayim. Truma can be eaten outside the walls of Yerushalayim. Okay, yes, but in other words, without the gzeres hakasav, I would never have made that distinction. Not that my opinion matters. In other words, Chozeres means she goes back to what she was before. And so what we're saying is limited Chozeres. She doesn't fully go back. Okay. Amar Chis Amar Avina Bar Shila Maikra. So the Gemara says, okay, and where do we see this? meaning this distinction of she goes back to eating truma, but not to chazav ashok. So the Gemara is going to bring, as I mentioned, four different approaches. Number one, the Gemara says he betrum vehi betrumas kadashim lo sochal. She can eat trumas kadashim bimura mina kadashim. That part that's taken off of kodesh. Kodesh over here meaning carbon. Okay? Meaning whatever parts are taken off from carbon, given to the Kohanim, i.e. Chaz Vishok, Lo Sochal. She will permanently be disqualified. Okay, see Rashi over here. Rashi goes through this pasuk, how the pasuk is darshan, the review of the Gemara earlier in Daf Samaches, where some of this pasuk is understood literally, some of it's not understood literally. Okay, in other words, I'm taking us through the fast pass of this drasha. Number two, drasha number two. Rav Nachman Amar Rav Abaravu Ami Lechem V'lo Kol Lechem. The Torah says that she goes back, right? The Mishnah quoted the pasuk. V'shava El Beis Avia Kinureha Mi Lechem. She's eating some of the lechem, not all of the lechem. Rashi over here points out that when the Gemara right now, when saying the word lechem, lechem is not a reference to bread. Lechem is a reference to food, right? Rashi quotes the Gemara. I'm sorry. Rashi quotes the pasuk from Sefer Daniel. Belshazzar Malka Ave Lechem Rav. Right? Belshazzar made a meal. Lechem is just a meal. Last week's parsha, right? Two weeks ago already. Goes fast. 2 weeks ago already, and right, the Yosef could eat everything but the lechem of Potiphar. Okay, Rashi over there has a couple of suggestions what lechem was a reference to over there. Right, correct. That's right. Very good. That's one of Rashi's pshatim. Anyway, so mi lechem v'lo kol lechem pral lechazav ashok. Okay, exclusion of chazav ashok. Mask of l'rami v'chameim pral l'afaras nadarim. Maybe what it is an exclusion of afaras nadarim. Amarav akfar paska tan debe Rav Yishmael. The Gemara says no. Afaras nadarim. We know afaras nadarim already. Afaras nadarim is the father's ability to annul her vows. Tanda be Rav Yishmael, v'neder amana grusha yakum aleha. The neder of a widow or a divorcee, yakum aleha, that stays. Meaning, no one can affect those nedarim. Because, unfortunately, she's now an independent. She has, she left her father's house, and she obviously left her, she's no longer married. So, matam alam ravalom mutsam achla avam mutsam achla bal. And the Gemara is asking the question. Tanda be Rav Yishmael is asking the question. What else would you have thought? Meaning, she's in no one's domain anymore. Ela harei shemaster avla shulchei abal, shemaster shulchei avla shulchei abal, v'nitar malo nitgar shabederech, heichani koreba beis avia shozu, o beis bala shozu. So, let's say she was in somewhere in the middle. She was like kind of like in limbo. The father was handing her over to the shulchei habal, and he dies right there. In other words, while she was during the transfer from the father's domain to her husband's domain, the point Tanya Be'er Yishmael says is that the moment that she leaves Rishus Ha'av, father no longer has a right to be made for Nadarim. To which the Gemara basically saying now, we already knew that once she leaves the Rishus of her Av, the father no longer has the rights of a Fars Nadarim, and so therefore the Mi Lechem is obviously an exclusion having nothing to do with a Fars Nadarim, but has to do with actual food, i.e. Chazav Ashok. A third drasha, Rav Safra, Amemi Lechem Avia Tochel, Lechem V'lo Basar. Rav Safra says that, no, you actually take the word Lechem literally. Lechem means bread. Meaning, she can eat truma, but not meat. Not the proteins, only the carbs. Rav Papa Amar mi lechem avia tochel, lechem akanu leavia prat lechazav ashok, demeshuchen gavo kazachu. Another drasha of the Gemara, Rav Papa's drasha is, no, it's, we know it's talking about truma because truma is actually owned by the Kohanim. When you give truma to a Kohen, it's his. He could do with it, I was going to say whatever he wants, that's not totally true. It has to be eaten, but he could be mekadesh a woman with it. Obviously, the woman will eat it. Anyway, point is, it's his.
The value.
Yeah, right. The value belongs to him. Masha Enkin, when it comes to Chazav Ashok is not his. The Kohen doesn't own Chazav Ashok. Rights to eat it. Mishuchan Gavoa Kazachu. They're eating it off the table of the king, but it's not theirs. They only have rights to eat it. That's it. Rava Amar ve'eschazei atenuva ve'eshoka truma tochlu atov anecha uvenosecha itach. So the another possibility should be number five already. Mm-hmm. I said four. Okay, I'm gonna add to my list. Okay, five. A fifth drasha. Who eats chaz v'shog? This pasuk obviously, right? Describing the eating of chaz v'shog says you can eat it together with your children and your sons and your daughters, who are with you. Bizman shi'itach. Yeah, while they're with you. Once they leave, however, even if they come back, they are permanently disqualified from chaz v'shog. Amar vada ba'ava tana kishi chozeres lebeis avi chozeres uchuma v'ne chozeres lechaz v'shog b'shmil. I'm sorry, ene chozeres chaz v'shog. Fine, she has ni chaz v'shog. I know the Gemara is hammering this point. Five different drushas that the Gemara showed us, but okay, the Gemara has a number of different avenues to get us to this conclusion. B'shvil b'na chozeres af lechaz v'shog. But the Gemara says, interesting, that for a son, she can eat chaz v'shog. Now, what does that mean for a son? Meaning, if they'll think this through, right? Or meaning, her son's a kohen. Meaning, she was married to a kohen. They had a son. Her son's a kohen. Her son's entitling her to eat. And now, as opposed to where she goes, as a bas kohen, she goes back to her family's house. She can eat truma, but she can't eat chaz v'shog. But in the reverse case, where she was married to a Kohen, she's a Bas Yisrael, she was married to a Kohen, she can eat chaz v'shog, but moreover, if the husband dies, but she has a child, the child can entitle to eat chaz v'shog. So the Gemara says, that's strange. Also, Rav Mordechai Amar, L'shmaita kamed Ravashi Amar, Mehecha kamis Rabbi, Mi Ubas, Mi Difala, Mi Na. So the Gemara says, so strange, that the child can be more of an entitler to mom, more of an enabler, than the actual Bas Kohen herself is going to her family's house. So Hasam Ksiva Miyuta V'Achel Ksiva Miyuta. So the Gemara says, okay, but that's how Gzeres HaKasav works. Gzeres HaKasav test says that sometimes a woman's excluded and sometimes a woman's not. I understand it may not sit well with us logically, but that's how Miyutim work. Miyutim is telling us that the Havamina would have been that the woman, the Bas Kohen, going back to her father's house, can eat Chaz v'Shog. The Gzeres HaKasav is, she doesn't. That's a Gzeres HaKasav. But when it comes to her son enabling, entitling her to eat, the Kohen son can enable his mother to eat all Manus Kahuna, including Chaz v'Shog, and there's no Miyut. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Very good. We're towards the bottom of the Yama now. V'shalva beis avia pratla shemaras yavim kinura pratla muberes. Okay, she returns to her father's house. Exclusion to shemaras yavim, meaning a woman who is a bas kohen, married to Yisrael, her husband died. No children, obviously, because we're about to talk about Yibum. But he's got a brother. That brother is going to still hold her back from eating the truma. Rashi writes over here. And why? See the Rashi? She's tied to her yavam. Right, Rashi's describing like a Zika over here. She's tied to her husband. And kinura prasamul beres. What if she's pregnant? So if she's pregnant, she also cannot go back. Valo dinhu. So the Gemara says now, let's compare. Children affect two halachas. Children affect the halacha of Yibam, and children affect the halacha of returning back to her father's house. Children from a previous marriage, does that affect Yibam?
No.
No. No. In other words, children from a if this woman had a child from a previous marriage, and then she marries her second husband, and the second husband dies with no children, even though she already was a mother of other, she already had children from a previous husband, those previous children are not going to affect her in this situation. Okay, do children from a previous marriage affect her ability to eat truma? Yeah, sure, absolutely. In other words, children from a previous marriage are going to still connect her to the previous husband, affecting and disabling her from eating truma.
She has to be severed from her new husband to be able to.
Okay, so the Gemara says, "Va'lo dinhu uma b'makim shelo asav la'min rishon kevlam neshen lepotrim in a yibom." Now, in the mitzvah of yibom, where children from a previous marriage are not going to affect her at all, asar ubar ki yulud, and meanwhile, her being pregnant in yibom is going to exempt her from Yibam and Chalitza. I know we discussed this earlier. But Malkum Sha'asav Lamin Arishin Kavlamin Asheni Lepos Lamin Atruma Einu Din Shanasa Ubar Ki Yilud. So the Gemara says now, in Truma context, where children from a previous marriage will disqualify her. So in other words, you see that having a child is so to say stronger, if you will, by Truma. So shouldn't we then make the argument, a logical argument, that her being pregnant, if pregnancy is going to affect her Yibum and children from a previous marriage don't, pregnancy by Truma should for sure have more of an impact. Lo, Mali Osa Uber Kilu Inyan Yibum Shari Osa Mesim Kechayim. So the Gemara says, well, no. The Gemara says because we're not comparable. Because when it comes to Yibum, so we treat Mesim Kechayim. Dead are considered like alive. What does that mean? It means that in the world of Yibum, let's say she has a child from her husband, and the husband dies, and then subsequently the child dies. Do we go back and do we revisit Yibum?
No.
No, the answer is no, we don't. We don't revisit Yibum. So now it's the Uber Kielud, Le'inyan Truma, Shalom Asa Mesim Kechayim. So, but that's not true by Truma. In other words, by Truma, we don't treat the dead like they're alive. Meaning, once a child is dead, that's it. Her connection to her husband has been severed. So So the Gemara says that's why we have the drasha. The drasha is there to teach us that Uberis is, Uberis is going to not allow her, not enable her to eat Truma. Let's just do this quickly. Gemara points out that there are two exclusions. If the Torah says that she doesn't have a child, look, a child means that there's more of her. There's her and her child. But if she's just pregnant, I might have thought that she should go back to eating Truma. And the Gemara says, and we could have also argued the following, and that is that when she's pregnant, that she's not kin ureha. She's not like she was when she left her father's house. When she left her father's house, she was what the Gemara refers to as gufa srika. She's empty. But now she's gufa malia, so I might have thought, okay, fine. She's disabled from eating truma. But after having the baby and after having the child, maybe one can make the argument that she loses her husband. It's true she has a child, but she's back to... She's back to her original form. So I might have thought the havamina would be she can go back to eat truma. Kamash malan. A pregnant woman can't eat truma. After she had a baby, she can't eat truma. Gemara says both of those are necessary points that Gemara had to make.